I want to walk through some very important topics with you on homework and counseling and helping people grow and change. And it's important that we walk through this together, because I've discovered that with most people, they don't necessarily have what I call a good concept of analysis. And so when they walk into biblical counseling, they come with great ideas, but not a true concept of analysis. And they are crippled because they don't really know what they're doing. And they go through something like this, and they say, okay, I think I understand, and they get all excited, but they don't deal with people according to where they are spiritually. They deal with people according to where they want to take people. And part of true biblical counseling is learning the phases and stages of individuals and dealing with them according to that phase and stage and bringing that to the context of the counseling situation. But part of that means you've got to have a framework by how you see people. And so over the years, as a fellow with ACBC, when people come for supervision, what I do with them, I say, listen, I'll take you on as my trainee, but under one condition. I don't want you to counsel for 5 weeks. I need to spend 5 weeks with you walking through some of these principles that I want to teach you. I'm going to teach you in an hour. Once we walk through this for the next 5 weeks, then let's start your counseling supervision. And so when they agree to that, I'm trying to give them what I call an understanding of counseling, a way to see things. Because part of the challenge in biblical counseling, we don't have, again, concepts of analysis. We don't have a frame of reference that's biblical. We don't have a structure or a strategic plan by which we can operate so that it doesn't matter who comes my way, I'm able to deal with them according to this biblical universal reality. So I want to start there, and let me just share this with you. We're not going to cover everything that you have in your notes. There are some specific things I want to go through. You purposely have extra information in this section that you can go back and review. But there are some things that I want to walk through that are important for me for you to have. But then there are other things that are there that you'll be able to read at your own time, okay? So I want you to know that. So when you see all this information, we're not going through everything in there. Just the key things that I want us to understand in order to get, hopefully, the ball rolling. Now, I did this. You guys are familiar with Brad Bigme, right? I did this a few years ago in a 5-part series at his church. And so if you go to his website, you can get the full, complete training that I did of this whole concept. And you can use these notes and sit down with the 5 sessions where I walk through it in detail. And I hope that it can give you, again, a concept of analysis of how to counsel and how to think about counseling. So we're going to walk through this together, some of these sections, and I'm hoping, again, it will encourage you to think in a biblical counseling perspective. Now, let me start with the first part of the section. And this is where I have to challenge people, because we put biblical counseling in an ooey-gooey place. So I don't think I can counsel. I don't think I can really do this. I'm not sure if this is the leading of the Lord for me. And we do all this spiritual jargon, and I want us to bring it down to a biblical reality of what true biblical counseling is and then challenge all of us to consider it, okay? You with me so far? All right, let's start at the beginning. Number one, God is saving souls from the power, penalty, and soon presence of sin. Let me ask you a stupid question. Who's saving souls? Ah, okay. Who's not saving souls in this room? So the goal is for me to do what God wants. I can't determine the outcome. It is God that saves souls, not me. Secondly, I want you to see this. God is maturing saints into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, who's maturing saints into the image of Jesus Christ? Now, let me ask you guys a question. Is anyone in this room familiar with a junior Holy Spirit? So, is there a junior Holy Spirit that exists? So that means there's no openings in the Trinity. Is that correct? Is that right? So we need to stop trying to play God and be the junior Holy Spirit and learn our place in this context of sanctification, of serving, and working with others. When you stop trying to play the Holy Spirit and let God be God, you will see things differently as you relate to people. Am I making sense to you? By the way, stupid question, who's saving souls? And who's maturing saints? Now, if we understand that, the second or third reality is this. God is using the church through evangelism to save souls. So what does that mean? We are instruments in the Redeemer's hands, as Paul Tripp would say. And when I share the gospel, not as I work, but as God wills, somebody will get saved. When we do discipleship, not as I work, but as God wills, someone is going to grow in the faith. So God is saving souls, God is maturing saints, but God is using the church through evangelism to save souls. God is using the church through discipleship to mature saints. Now, stupid question, what do you think should be the primary ministries of a church? Evangelism and what? That should be the central goal of our existence. Regardless of how big or small your church is, if God is saving souls and maturing saints, and he's using the church through evangelism and discipleship, what should be the main thing that you and I should be focused on in the church? Evangelism and what? And as we focus on evangelism and discipleship, what happens? A soul what? And then somebody is what? Mature. Now, if you keep that in mind, you'll start to come to terms with some very simple realities. You don't save souls. You don't mature saints. You evangelize. You disciple. And when that becomes the central focus. Now, stupid question. When you're in a counseling room and a person is an unbeliever, what becomes your ministry? Evangelism. If you're in a counseling session and your person is a Christian, what becomes your ministry? Huh. So then, shouldn't every Christian be a counselor? Oh, so let's look at that. Biblical counseling is the avenue. Well, let me go back. God is using the church through these areas. Biblical counseling is an avenue whereby evangelism and discipleship can take place, resulting in God using it to save the soul from the power, penalty, and soon presence of sin, maturing saints into the image of Christ. Therefore, every Christian should be a what? So when people say, I can't do biblical counseling, well, you can't go make disciples then. Because true biblical counseling boils down to evangelism and discipleship. Every Christian should be a counselor. Now, part of my challenge as I'm training people in biblical counseling, I have to start here so we can get beyond this. Can I do this stuff? Does God really want me to be involved in this? And I ask them the question, when God said, go make disciples, who was he including in go make disciples? Huh. So when I'm in a counseling ministry and someone is not a Christian, I'm doing evangelism. If they are a Christian, we're going to do discipleship. If we grab that, we can do biblical counseling. Now, given that, I want you to take a look at the objectives in biblical counseling. And here's what we see. All biblical counseling should be built around three key objectives. Number one, to lead people into salvation. To lead Christians into putting off particular sinful habits that keep them from walking in love for God and others. To lead Christians into putting off loving attitudes and actions towards God and others, and leading them to become like Christ in all these things. Now, let me ask you a stupid question. When does that ever change? So then, you already know the agenda for every counseling session. Unbeliever, objective. I need to identify ways to do evangelism in hopes that God will lead them to Christ. If it's a believer, I've got two objectives. How do I lead them to put something off and put something on in this process of sanctification as God has given me the power and wisdom to share, but they're the ones through his power that will change. I'm not the change agent. I'm the facilitator. So how do I help facilitate the process according to what God is doing in their life? Ladies and gentlemen, these are the objectives of biblical counseling that never changes. These are the things we have to get in our heads. Once we do this, we can stop thinking that change is our responsibility in the lives of someone else. When another person changes, it's because God and them are working together. They are choosing to respond to what God is doing within. not because I was so eloquent and so excellent in what I said. I was the instrument, but God is the determiner.